B-Pod Studios.
Zillak and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at the Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back, Zolak and Bertrand, 1 o'clock hour here from Warrior in Brighton. We can't get over this stupid Odell Beckham Jr. stuff from the other night.
It's getting worse for him. There's more videos coming out. Supposedly he was harassing the LSU band to the point he went up in the stands with them and had to be brought back down by two state police.
Yeah, two state police.
He wanted the band to play a certain song and they weren't listening.
Because he's in the stands harassing them, screaming at them to play whatever song he was looking for them to play. Again, Odell Beckham Jr. has been issued. There's been an arrest warrant issued for him in Louisiana for simple assault, for smacking. I don't know if it's a security guard or police officer.
It's a police officer.
It is?
Yes. This guy's got a badge and everything. He's a little police officer with a hat, badge.
Well, I can get your
badge.
I've seen stories that describe it as a security officer. I don't know. Maybe it was private security, but you look at that person and you go, that looks like a police officer.
Guy looks like a cop.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cop.
It appears to be a police officer, but
Superdome officer.
Oh, okay. So maybe they've got like a private police force there.
The Pinkertons.
So that individual who's telling one of the players to put out their cigar because the cigar could set off a fire alarm. And it appeared the player was like, oh, okay. Like the player listens and they're putting it out. And while the officer is leaning over to talk to the player, Odell Beckham comes up and slaps the officer on the backside and then starts taunting him, yelling and screaming in his face. All this going on in the locker room after the game. Yep. So now they're going to get him into court to answer for that. Yes, Louisiana statute defines simple battery as battery committed without the consent of the victim. Punishment in Louisiana can include a fine of no more than $1,000 and imprisonment for no more than 6 months or both. I don't think he's going to jail, but...
He probably didn't apologize for him slapping him on the tail. And I said, all right.
No, he's a complete a-hole.
Yeah. He had himself a day. Boy, he had himself a day.
Yeah, he really did. LSU should really be proud. Winning the national title and then having to answer for all of his complete stupidity, including handing out wads of money to their players.
It's the same guy was kissing Brady's ass last game, right? When he saw him? Showed up with the goat, the goat hair shoes.
Right.
Tom. Yeah.
Talk about two guys who couldn't handle themselves differently. Brady and Odell Beckham Jr. Aldo's in Ludlow. Aldo.
Hey, guys. Hey, Beetle. Do you feel like I do? Let's let Pete Rose in if you're going to not hold all these cats accountable for their misdeeds.
No, I don't.
How come?
Because I don't think...
the Black Sox players were all held accountable, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, do you think there's a similarity between stealing signs, even with technology, to enhance your performance and try and win versus gambling on the sport? You think they're the same?
That's the difference. Trying to win as opposed to Pete Rose.
Pete Rose bet on the games that he was managing?
Yeah, he bet on the games he was managing, but whenever you start gambling like that, even if you're trying to win, and if you're gambling on games that you're trying to win, what are you doing the day before? in an effort to make sure that everything is set up correctly for the game that you're betting on tomorrow night. I'm not saying he intentionally tanked games, but it's this dirty, dirty like spider web that you get into when you start gambling on games that you can affect the outcome of. And even if you're trying to win, that automatically says you're not trying as hard in the other games. And at worst, it means you're actually tanking other games and not using resources like your pitching staff that you want to be able to use tomorrow in that game that you're going to bet your house on. That's the difference.
Okay, well, thank you for setting me straight.
Well, it's as an opinion, but yeah,
there is no right answer. I would say the most convincing argument that I would give credit to Sean McAdam on this for, because he is very adamant that Pete Rose does not play anywhere near. And he said, he goes, with Pete Rose, people will say, well, you know, there's no proof that he bet against his team, right? That's one of the arguments. There's no proof he bet against them. And I remember hearing this first from Sean McAdam years ago. He goes, you're right. There's no proof. What about the nights that he didn't place the bets? Is that not a sign to the bookies? Is that not a tell? So when he's betting on the nights in favor of his team, and then there's nights where he's not placing a bet, that's the equivalent of letting others know.
Right.
And maybe having it be a tell for others that he owes money to, I'm not betting tonight. So what did that mean?
Right.
And how should that be interpreted?
And Maz said something to that effect yesterday. I've heard him speak about this much the very same way. You get in with these guys, and at some point you're going to owe them money. You know, you are going to be in the hole if you do this long enough. And if you gamble enough, you're going to be down. And there's two ways of getting yourself out. You can somehow turn things around and start betting the right way and really have a couple of wins. Or you can, I tell you how we can even this out. Here's what I'm going to do for you. It's not like we're inventing something. It happens all the time. It happens all the time with people getting with these circles when it's, you know, when it's an illegal enterprise, as it was when Pete Rose was doing it, and virtually everywhere, that, you know, there are no rules there, and there's really no limits as to what you will do to get yourself out of a jam like that. And how guilty would Pete Rose have felt for tanking one game in 162? Probably not that bad, but if there is at any point even the appearance that these games aren't on the up and up and you are paying for and watching something where the outcome is pretty much predetermined, that's when you lose the sport. That's when you lose everybody. That's why there's no wiggle room on a guy like Pete Rose.
News from MLB. Carlos Beltran out as New York Mets manager. He's been fired in New York.
There it is.
No surprise there. You knew he was next.
Yep.
So now three managers have been fired in Major League Baseball for their involvement.
Clean and house.
A.J. Hinch, Alex Cora, and now Carlos Beltran has been fired as manager of the New York Mets before even managing a game there.
Jesus.
I told you right away.
Yeah.
I called that one. I'm like, oh, Beltran's going to get it too.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to weather that storm.
The video of Cora, too, is just damning. You know, talking about him and get all those runs. And, you know, it's their best acquisition that they got him. And, you know, we need to do a better job of what we do. And I'm not talking about the vices and all that. I flat out told you.
Undefeated, though, as a manager. Great.
That's good. It's
great,
good
record
run
for Beltran.
Best mess manager, right?
Well, no. I mean, he doesn't have a winning percentage. He hasn't won anything. But
hold on a second, Beetle. Just want to make sure we get this prop. He has not been fired. He is stepping down.
Oh. It's like the Red Sox.
Oh, is it a mutual parting of the ways?
Yeah. He can't manage the way he
has. I don't want to say that either. For all I know, the Mets are saying, no, 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 no. Don't quit. We got this.
Tim Brown says Carlos Beltran told the Mets it is best if he steps down.
Yes.
Sad day for them.
Looks like the direction this will take.
There you go.
Press conference coming for the Mets tomorrow, 1 o'clock. How sad they are, and to ask for patience until all the findings come out.
And privacy during this difficult time. Right. Patience and privacy.
You better get going, man. There's a lot of people are looking for managers. So you don't get left in the dust here.
The Mets were just recently, I know they're in talks, and it looked like Steve Cohen was going to buy them. Is that official yet? So I only ask because they are getting sold. I just don't know if it's gone through yet. So I'm wondering who the owner is. It still the Wilpons, or do they have their new owner in place yet?
I do not know.
Well, that's something we got to find out, because I don't think it's. Yeah, no, it's not official. So the Wilpons are still in charge. So so the thing will be, the Wilpons can get up there and say, well, you know, we wanted to keep him, and he just didn't want to stay.
Yeah.
We, what? Oh, no, we didn't fire him. We have no idea what was going on in the Houston Astros situation. They didn't tell us anything. Just what we read in the report, like everybody else.
Personally, we really like him. He's been a big part of this organization. He was in here and hung stuff up on his walls. I mean, I only saw him here for about 20 minutes. He's a really good guy.
Carlos Beltran, stepping down as manager of the New York Mets. Alex Cora may or may not have said he was the Mets' biggest offseason acquisition.
Amazing.
More on that, more of your calls. Open line 617-779-0985. We talked about the AFC title game a little bit earlier. There's something about the NFC title game that I didn't know until this week, Zoe.
And we'll LaFleur?
Yes.
Yeah, let's do it.
We'll discuss it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Aaron Rodgers, again in the victory formation, drops to a knee, and that'll do it. The Green Bay Packers have advanced to the NFC Championship game with a 28-23 victory over the Seattle Seahawks. And like confetti falling from the sky, it starts to snow here at Lambeau Field. Who said God's not a Packers fan?
Zolak and Bertrand, 121 here at Warrior. Current temperature, cold.
It's getting to the point, you know, like where you just tighten up. Like I'm
tighten up, yeah.
No.
Hey, everybody.
I do. I start. This is about the time where I start to feel it in my shoulders.
My toes are numb. I'm doing a talk show. I just don't want to talk because my mouth is like flat.
Right.
My lips.
Your face gets a little stiff.
My lips become plates.
Hey, everybody. Spend about 3-4 hours in an ice rink.
You don't cold.
Your muscles start to tighten up. There's a little song about sitting in an ice rink. Well, they have a morning skate that lasts about 8 minutes. But you're going to sit here anyway for four hours. Meanwhile, there's a whole gaggle of kids down there for some charter school. You can take the day off to go ice skating.
Your money.
They're going to tighten up.
Your money, people. But you take your kids skating at 3
There's a Montessori down there.
Yeah.
They thought a good way to educate the kids would be to take them ice skating while they're trying to do a radio show. Come on, everybody. Let's tighten up. Quiet down.
Yeah. Speaking of the Titans, we already talked about the AFC.
There are places behind the glass in here that we could do the show.
Yeah.
Multiple places.
Yeah. Why, multiple floors. Why don't we do that?
It would make some sense. I don't know who we have to talk to about that, but ooh.
So you didn't know this LaFleur.
So I didn't know this until this week.
Huh.
I read it earlier in the week that Matt LaFleur,
yep,
head coach of the Vikings, has a brother that's on the coaching staff of the Packers.
Passing game coordinator.
Excuse me, yeah. The 49ers.
Yeah.
His brother, Mike LaFleur,
Mikey,
is the passing game coordinator, as you just said. So the parents there, the LaFleurs,
they're going to Super Bowl either way. That's pretty cool.
They've already won.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Like, this is great. If you're them, you can't lose. I know a lot of people want to make that out to be, oh, you know, as it says here in the story I just pulled up, mixed emotions for the LaFleur family in the NFC title game. Mixed emotions. I'm the dad. I'm going, I'm like, I can't lose. One of my kids is going to win, and the other one I'll taunt.
Cram it up your cram hole, LaFleur.
What is that from?
I don't know.
Okay.
Dodgeball?
Oh, I never saw it.
Oh. I didn't see that.
Not either. A memorable line. Yeah.
I never saw a dodgeball.
Not a good fluency, probably.
Best bring your bib.
This is just distracting. Thank you.
It's noise.
So the LaFleurs are going to the game, and they win either way. Yeah. I think that's wonderful. Congratulations. I'd like to congratulate them right now on their son winning the NFC title game.
It's nice.
Isn't that great?
This is nothing like the Harbaughs, though.
Why?
Like two head coaches.
Now that would
in
be
in a Super Bowl.
That would be mixed emotions only because you're
freaking crazy.
So what?
That'll never happen again. Like,
how do you know? Why would you say that?
I don't know. I might not now.
This is a sport
his
that
his brother could get elevated, and guys are getting head gigs all the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I would not rule that out. Two brothers coaching sure. in the Super Bowl again,
but for that time, that was pretty rare.
Yeah. I understand that.
You were sweaty that week, boy.
Where were we?
You went out with Jeff.
Oh, New Orleans. Oh, cool.
You did not look good on TV.
Man. It was an unusually warm week down there, too.
Why is he green?
It wasn't a... not only was I sweating out all the booze we had had the night before, but it was also like a super hot day there. It was like muggy as all hell. And I remember walking out of the hotel being like, I've overdressed for this day. I have a long sleeve, like button up shirt on, and it's 87 and humid.
And you're in New Orleans where it just kind of always feels a little swampy anyway.
It smells like sewer down there. It really does. Like, oh. you get to the wrong part of New Orleans, like, oh, so, I know that sour beer smell.
Radio Row down there was in the same convention center that, if you've ever seen any of the footage from Katrina,
yeah.
was a convention center they were using.
Yeah.
And so that's another one of the buildings there that's been, you know, rehabbed and reconditioned, if you will. I remember walking in that day being like, did they fix the AC yet? Or is that still down from the hurricane? Like, oh, God, it's hot in here.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Jeff Howe and I both. Yeah, we did not look good.
That was down by the river, right?
Yeah.
The convention center.
Yeah.
On one strip. Yeah, that big building. Yeah.
Yeah, it's big, past long building.
Yeah. Oh, what a nightmare that was.
Is there an aquarium down there, near there?
Aquatic center.
New Orleans Aquatic Center?
I don't know of the Aquatic Center.
All right.
I'm unaware of the Aquatic Center.
Oh, right. That day, nothing will beat last year's.
Another
those two whale sharks.
Quick,
sailing like that again.
Mention Monty Ossenfort.
Yeah,
has an interview for Monty Ossenfort from the Patriots. That is, he's the scouting director.
He's college scouting.
College yep. scouting director is interviewing for the Browns GM job. He was blocked from interviewing for the Texans job 2 years ago. Now he gets an interview in Cleveland.
Boy, Bill has no problem shipping anybody to Cleveland, huh?
I guess. No,
nobody gets blocked to Cleveland. Take him.
Cleveland wants him? Have him.
Texans want him? No. Giants want him? No. Panthers? No. Cleveland? Sure.
Oh, you need him? No problem.
That's where I used to make my peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
I don't know if you also saw the story. So, but by the way, what does that mean?
What's that?
The Patriots could lose their college scouting?
Well, think about this. So, I think it's inevitable that Casario at some point is going to bolt, right? A lot of people think that Houston might still be in play after the draft. Problem is, he's got to stay here through the draft. They own him through the draft. So, if it's not Houston, say he bolts somewhere else, Ossenfort was in line to be the next GM, I thought. I thought that's the natural pecking order is the way it goes with these guys, whether it was Jason Light, whether it was Pioli, whether it's Dimitrov, whether it's this is a guy with the Detroit with Patricia. Damn it. Forget his name.
Jimbo?
No, the guy a GM.
Quinn.
Bob Quinn. So it's normal pecking order for them to go through this process where you become college head of college scouting and then you sort of get elevated. That'd be tough to lose Monty and Nick sort of in that same like 8 month span. That would be a tough one. That would.
Also, Paul DePodesta expects to get a contract extension after they hire the GM in Cleveland. FYI. and he's going to continue to work out.
So did you see his stuff, too, that he's been saying, like, yeah, I've been on a headset and a computer every day. They've been putting in the work. They got extended family out there, so he likes staying out there.
Mm-hmm.
And works his tail off for the during the week and then relaxes. It's just so freaking weird in his sport. Like, it seems like it would never fly, but it flies with them.
Yep.
That's why you're on your seventh coach in 9 years. Seventh head coach in 9 years. Yeah. But you'll give that guy an extension.
Ron is in Boston.
Good
he's
luck.
He's got some thoughts today on cheating scandals. Hi, Ron.
How you doing, gentlemen?
Hi, Ronnie.
Excellent. Just really quick, I mean, in regards to the whole Astros cheating, I mean, they think they should go after the players who batted. I mean, they knew as much as the general staff. They knew as much as the coaches and the managers what was going on. And they all.
If your bench coach, if your bench coach and your manager are saying, sit down, listen to this, and watch this, and this is how we do things, I can't blame players because you're being told to do it. Code ready.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I would love to see what you guys would think would be a meaningful punishment for those guys as far as monetary or suspension-wise.
For players, none. I don't care about the players. I care about the people who are in charge. I really don't. I don't care the players who are benefiting from it. I'm not offended by the players having benefited from this. They didn't come up with it. They didn't implement it. Their bosses did. Bench coaches, managers, general managers. That's who I'm interested in.
Except Beltran. I mean, in the report.
Because he's different. He's obviously in a different class of player.
Yeah, and
He wasn't playing. He wasn't benefiting from it. He wasn't playing. He was doing work.
But in the report, it said approximately 2 months into the 2017 season, a group of players, including Carlos Beltran, discussed that the team could improve on decoding opposing team signs and communicating the signs to the batter. I mean, that was from the report. So for him, yeah, named again. I don't think the Mets took too long, but you could argue that it should have happened at the same time the Red Sox were mutually parting ways with Alex Cora yesterday. And that statement, yeah, both of them. Both of the statements from the Mets and Carlos Beltran mutually agreed to part ways. That's how this is being framed.
You know, so if you
across the board.
Now, if you wanted to say, hey, we know that it was two more players. It was Altuve and name another guy there, okay? And Bregman. It was Bregman and Altuve, and these two guys conspired with Beltran. Well, then I think you got something.
Yeah.
If it's two players who in addition to Beltran, but if you're going to do it based on, hey, the whole this whole roster of guys benefited, they should all be punished? No. What was the player supposed to do if he was at the plate and they're banging that trash barrel down there? Oh, please stop. I don't want to benefit from this. Come on.
You're distracting me with that.
Yes, please. Now, if you're telling me that it was the idea and conspiracy of a couple of players, then I think you've got some information there that would lead to me saying, yeah, you should get those guys too. But my feeling is this was Cora and Beltran. And Beltran was barely playing. He was old veteran guy on his last legs in baseball on a team that was about to win a World Series. Get him his championship. Hardy has headlines. We got one more segment of your calls. We'll do it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the home of the Bruins. With the Bruins. Zoe and Bertrand are live at Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub, and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Who's laughing back there?
Is that intern?
It was B-Rob.
Is that B-Rob or the intern?
That was basically everyone.
What's so funny back there?
It was what?
I'm so hilarious that everyone just laughs.
Are they laughing at you, so?
I think they're laughing at me.
They're laughing at you.
We're just talking cooking off air.
Hmm.
You should try it, B-Rob. Gain some weight.
try cooking B-Rob. Yeah.
If I were cooking for B-Rob, I would treat
him a pizza.
I would treat him like a dog we have right when I got out of college. My roommates and I, and it was Papa's dog, but the dog was Hoover, and this dog couldn't put on weight. So we used to get bacon grease.
Yes.
From bacon that we would either cook ourselves or his mother would just give it to us. You know how you, you know, I don't know if in your house you save the bacon grease for cooking later on, but we would just take the bacon grease.
You should. You put it in a jar.
And if it was hot, we would pour it over his dog food or just ladle it on there, just trying to put weight on the dog.
Did he fatten up?
A little bit, but that's what I would do with B-Rob. I would just start putting bacon grease on all of his meals.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to have another salad today, B-Rob? Come here. Hold on.
I got two teaspoons of bacon grease.
A little something for you on that.
I have an email here from Tyler to all of us.
Oh.
Subject, Hernandez documentary.
Yeah.
He says, you guys got anything on the new documentary? A lot coming out about how messed up his life really was. Some interesting clips, like his mom trying to leech $1 million after he signed his extension. Just interesting if you guys have seen it, and interested to know if you've seen it, and if you have any thoughts. Thanks.
It's hard to comment on it because I haven't seen the whole thing. I saw the first part like you did last night.
I saw the first episode.
Started the second one. I fell asleep. But with the intriguing stuff to me are the conversations he's having with
the jailhouse conversations.
Because that's the real stuff, like towards the end there. But,
the phone calls from jail.
Hey, daddy's on vacation, honey. How you doing? He's talking to his daughter.
Yeah.
There's some creepy conversations.
So the build-up in the first episode to this, I guess the big oh moment at the end, is that his quarterback from high school says that he was sexually active with Aaron Hernandez starting in, I believe, the seventh grade, is what this person said, who was his high school teammate and close friend.
Yeah.
That's like the, ooh, big moment at the end. Like, wow, got to hang on now to see where this goes. I don't know. I watched the first one. I found it tedious. I found it boring. I don't think this thing lives up to the hype so far.
It was too much.
I've seen a lot of online hype about this. It's got to get a lot better for me to say that this is good.
Too much football.
That the documentary is something special or new or really worthwhile.
And that's just it. Is there anything new in there that we didn't know? There's been some exhaustive reporting.
There's
on
been
this
nowhere
already.
Else where I think you've been able to hear the calls. I don't think that's anywhere else, right?
Just the stupidity of it all, like the location of where they took Odin and that, and you know, just how they were involved in like the other guy with the speckled hair and the Ortiz guy. That the biggest thing they ever did was like steal bicycles. Like you thought he's hooked up with these major criminals, and they rented so many cars, and they got this, you know, this high-tech type ring where we're never going to drive our own car, and we're going to do this, and we're going to drive to pick him up, bring him back. And the worst these guys ever did was like steal bicycles. So it's not like he was involved with smart criminal. They were just stupid in what they did, just dumb. Yeah, I mean, you can eventually get to the double murder down in Boston, South Boston. Like, I want to know more on that stuff.
I don't know if there's any way of explaining it, though. It's like, how do you explain the kid who was, you know, had a messed up home life and felt like he couldn't be himself? And how do you...
How does he function at that level, though?
How do you function and sign a contract and do all these things and then make the jump to triple murderer? Like,
So, like, in high school, he was playing with two guys older his age. So he's always the youngest kid on the field, but he was like the best kid on the field. And then he goes to UConn, but he's really going to Florida. And then he goes and he flourishes at Florida. And he sees some of the moves and you know against teams like Alabama. Like, how do you get that good? But be able to deal in there's some stuff in there from the Pouncies too, which is crazy. A language in there. I mean, it doesn't make the Pouncies look great.
Oh, really? They looked great before this?
No, they're two good damn centers in the league, though. They've been around a long time. Those two guys can play. But, like, how do you have these other lives, man, and juggle all that and then get here and become successful to where they want to give you a $40 million contract extension?
Do you know that Marquise Pouncey? I haven't seen this part yet, but I saw this news. back in December, and I was surprised because just knowing Maurkice Pouncey's defense of Aaron Hernandez, Maurkice Pouncey is up for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. Is there anything we're going to see in this documentary that might make us think he's not worthy of such an award?
There might be some bad guys in that Pittsburgh locker room other than him. That's what I think.
But do you understand what I'm saying? Like, if this documentary is going to try and I'd be interested to see if they try and connect the dots somehow to get from a troubled youth with some, you know, questionable relations to he killed three guys and tried to kill a fourth.
Yeah, I don't see the connection.
Well,
right.
I don't know if there is a way to connect it.
Right.
You know, how do you explain that away?
So it's like, I said to Zoe, I'm like, all right, so they got all this stuff about how he was possibly gay. But what does that have to do with anything? Like, what does that have to do with this?
Because it's the shock and awe of a football player admitted that. And then they interviewed one of the other players that was gay, and he talked about how he chugged beer and ate because he didn't want to be outed. And it's just, I didn't understand the tie-in.
I didn't understand.
What's that got to do with Aaron Hernandez?
Honestly, yeah. I don't think the thing is all that well put together.
I don't think it's right.
I think it jumps all over the
place. Turkey jerky, it is.
I don't think it's very good. That's my initial impression of the Hernandez doc.
It's too much built up of where Hernandez came from, who'd he play for. We knew all that stuff. You know, I want to know the inside the jail stuff, man.
This thing literally watches like a Dateline special. In fact, it's not as well produced as a Dateline special. So
yeah, don't go goofing on Dateline specials because you and I are going to have some problems.
Then I'm sitting on there, and then there's Wiggy. Wiggy's getting interviewed the whole time, basically, about it.
Oh, well, I'm through the first hour. I haven't seen Wiggy yet. I'll let you know if I do.
You'll see him.
A lot of times in those Dateline specials, you can figure out who the murderer is by the guy that is not doing a whole bunch of interviews about it.
Yeah.
How long do they generally last? They're on for about 4 hours, generally. They start around 7 o'clock. They'll finish up around 11 o'clock on a Saturday night. Yeah, I've got a big social life. I'll watch a lot of Dateline on Saturday night. But, Beetle, sometimes you can get a hint. Like, oh, they keep talking about this guy, but they haven't shown him yet.
By the way,
I wonder why that is.
I'll tell you what I'm going to throw on the DVR tonight. I don't know if it'll be any good. But there's a Last Days of Richard Pryor.
Yeah, where'd you pull this
airing tonight? I wanted to see what channel it was on.
All right.
It's on ABC. They're doing the equivalent of a Dateline special, the ABC News special.
See,
The Last Days of Richard Pryor?
You're too young. Speaking of guys who have complicated lives, he was certainly one.
He doesn't remember.
Doing a special on him.
You don't remember Silver Streak. You don't remember Crazy Stir Crazy? Like,
the toy.
We grew up on the toy.
Oh, I remember the toy. Yeah. I used to watch
that's
the toy
right.
all the time.
That's right. We Bad. We then Gross Burger. Stir Crazy.
Silver Streak is.
He and Gene Wilder together may be two of the.
One of the best duos ever.
We grew up on that crap.
I remember watching Richard Pryor. I think he was on Oprah. And it was, you know, he was really sick, and he was in a wheelchair. And what did he have? What was he afflicted with?
Tourette's.
Later in his life, no, it wasn't Tourette's, and it wasn't ALS.
No,
Beetle will look it up real quick. It may have been MS that he was, you know, severely affected by, but you know his body was leaving him, and he was. I don't know. At this point, I guess it
is. He had multiple sclerosis, MS.
Okay, it was MS, late stage MS. But I think he was on Oprah, and she asked him about his drug use and whether he, you know, regretted that time in his life or anything. And I'll never forget the answer. You know, it was supposed to be one of these, you know, feel good, like admission moments. And he said, no, if you had crack, I'd smoke it right now. I'd smoke crack with you right now. You know, like, ha, ha, ha. And he said, no, I'm serious. They're like,
do you have crack?
I'm like, oh, this, you know, this isn't what we expected to have in our daytime special with Richard Pryor here as our special guest. I'd watch that.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out. I'll DVR it. Let you know if it's any good.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Okay. Today's takeaways are
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub. That's me.
Today's takeaway is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. January is here. Book your free consultation at awaken180weightloss.com. Set it up. Give them a call. Make 2020 the last time the losing weight will ever be your New Year's resolution again. All righty.
Let's get to the takeaways. Chris Wagner was here today, and he talked about Brad Marchand missing the puck the other night in the shootout.
Who was the first to break his balls after that? Is that one you don't touch?
I was probably up there.
Did anybody?
Does he take that well?
Once too soon.
Yeah.
He called the guy a peasant on Twitter. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, but that's
Twitter.
That's the trolls. I mean, you know, they asked for it. But
yep. Did anybody on the team give him a hard time afterward?
I went in. I saw him like 2 minutes after, and I couldn't stop laughing. I'm like,
fans think it's so hard. Like, how could you do that?
Yeah, that I mean, like, what are you going to do in that scenario to be like, oh, man, get him next time? It's like, or be like, you should have got the puck. Like, I think he knows. It's like, he's one of the best players in the league.
Like, that's what to say. He's like the last guy you'd expect to have that happen with.
Yeah.
But still, what would he say? Get him next time.
That's why it's funny.
Take the puck with you.
That's why you can break his balls, because it's funny. How about after Rask went down? He goes, I went right on the ice after that and said, let's go. We're going to fight.
Yeah. And he even said, he goes, I'm not.
He said, then they talked about us as being a 19-year-old Swedish kid. I just wonder.
Those guys don't even think that it was intentional. It doesn't sound like.
Wagner did not sound like he was
convinced of it.
Convinced that it was an intentional thing, and especially if it seems out of character for that player. So,
well, the league doesn't. I mean, he didn't get fined, so, or suspended. So,
no discipline will be coming from the league for that. Other thing today was Zoe dropped his phone down his shirt. Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand. Yeah. Zoe just dropped his phone down his shirt. The back of his shirt.
You want to know why?
The back of it is ribbed.
He was using it to scratch his back.
It's ribbed.
So I'm just using a scratch.
Ribbed for his pleasure.
For my pleasure, for scratching. Yes.
Right.
Sometimes he turns it inside out. Artie, can you help me get my phone? We start looking on the ground like, did you drop it?
No, it's back here.
Like, where? No, down his shirt.
No, it's in my shirt.
Like, I thought it was in between his shirt and his jacket, which wouldn't make sense either, but no. Inside the shirt.
And Artie's digging with his hobo gloves in the shirt. I got a picture of
it. Put us on a remote, that's what you get.
Oh, good.
Yep.
I'm going to tweet that picture out right now.
Yeah.
So everyone can get a good look at that.
I missed that the first time.
You didn't hesitate, though, man. You went right down there.
He's a good friend.
Yeah. I missed it the first time, though, when you said sometimes he turns it inside out.
Man could have north here gets punchy when he's down here at this. I tell you what, it is just revved up.
You know
the air is circulating. You feel it.
You know what? That would work, though, because you turn it inside out, and all of a sudden it's rigged for your pleasure, and the reservoir tip still works.
That works either way.
Yeah. It's not inverted. I mean, it's not a hard case.
What's up, kids?
Soft shell.
No school today, huh? It's all right. You didn't learn anything.
Boy, they... Not impressed by you. What happened?
That's dead.
We're back tomorrow on a Friday, and we'll have some fun for sure.
Oh, yeah.
We've already got something lined up that I know will be fun. Oh. So we'll do that tomorrow, and we'll be talking about the games this weekend.
Sounds good.
Have a great afternoon. Felger Mazur are next.
With Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.